It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Monday. 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. And we are always streaming on that 101.3 ESPN app. And remember, you can download that for free in both the Google Play Store and the Apple iTunes Store as well. So you get full access to all of our podcasts. You can listen live. You can also get access to our exclusive web content as well. And if you are using that Amazon Echo, the Echo Dot, you've got Alexa, just ask her to enable 101.3 ESPN, and we appreciate however you're listening. Lots of different ways to listen and interact with the show, and remember, you can get in as well on the Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672. Our qualifier for the day, Brian in Richmond. So we didn't announce that in the huddle, but we are pumped tomorrow, by the way. Remember, our new contest is kicking off. Our newest contest, that Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience. You want to go see the Sox and Tigers on Tuesday, June 5th. You want to get that hotel room. You want to be on the field for batting practice while the Sox and Tigers are taking BP. And you get that exclusive tour of Fenway Park. Be listening tomorrow, 7:25. Rich will have that Red Sox player of the day. And then three times throughout the day, we're going to ask you to cue the call, to call in and tell us that Red Sox player of the day. Who is it? We will. You'll have to listen tomorrow, 7:30. So, but we will help you out and tell you every day in the huddle as to what time that player of the day will be announced in the following day's show. So the following Golica Wingo. So we appreciate you getting in. Again, you can, 802-655-6672. Tons to get to today. We will keep you posted on how the Celtics are doing as well. That game is on now over on AM 960 The Zone. Funny story from earlier, my dad is in Scotland with my brother. My dad has wanted to go to Europe for a long time now. He's 56 years old, almost 57, and has never been out of North America. So he's in Scotland right now with my brother. They spent one day over there. This is their first day over there. They got there this morning, so it's 11 o'clock at night or so now, so he's already in bed. But my brother, of course, who's 22, took him out to a bar already, and they had a couple drinks, and they're jet lagged from travel and things like that. So my dad messages me on Facebook, and he tells me it's 11 a.m. Rich, you'll appreciate this. Rich just walked back in the studio, so I got to tell you this. Rich, my dad is in Scotland right now. Oh, you're going to grab the mic, even better. My dad's in Scotland with my brother right now.
Okay.
And it's his first time ever out of North America. So he's operating, jet lag, he flew overnight, he's exhausted. My brother's 22, take him to a bar, had a couple beers. It's 11 a.m. our time, so it's 4 p.m. 4 p.m. in Scotland.
So sort of day drinking.
Yes. And my dad messages me and goes, just wanted to say hi. Have a great show. Like, he thinks it's 4 p.m. both places.
Well, a couple of drinks. And it's Scottish drinks.
Yes.
Okay.
So he was having a Kingpin ale.
Oh.
That's what he was having.
That sounds lethal.
So he was he's in Scotland. And, a couple drinks in, jet lag, and he wishes me good luck on the show at 11 a.m. I said, you know what, in 5 hours, hopefully it will be a good show, but I appreciate that.
Now, did you tell him that it was of the time difference?
Yes,
said. Okay, you actually let him know.
I said, Dad, remember, it is only 11 a.m. here. He goes, forgot that we weren't on the same time frame anymore.
Speaking of time weirdness, I got to go because the Celtics game is, starting right now.
Yeah, Celtics
That's
game.
Bizarre.
And it's actually going to play into the C's advantage. The crowd reportedly in Philly essentially empty as those Philadelphians fight traffic to get there.
Yeah, that arena is right there where the baseball and football stadium is. You've probably been down there.
Yeah, Citizens Bank Park.
It's right off of 95 and at Broad Street. It's hell on earth at 6 o'clock on a weekday.
So fans are trying to get into that. So, Rich, we'll see you tomorrow. Again, you'll have that Golic and Wingo word of the day, 7:25, 7:30-ish tomorrow, and we'll get to that Red Sox player of the day at that time. So, my dad's in Scotland. That's my funny story there. And something that I have to address right now. And before we really get to the show, this has been on my mind for a while. I refuse to have this conversation beyond this 2.5 minutes. And I refuse to listen to this conversation ever. And it doesn't matter if it's on national radio. It doesn't matter if it's on this station. I will not listen to LeBron versus Jordan anymore. I can't do it. I cannot listen to who's better, MJ or LeBron. Why can't we just accept that they're both undeniably great? Okay? And they both are great, and they both are great at different things, and they're both great under different circumstances, in different organizations, in different time periods. I mean, look, you want to talk numbers? Sure. MJ averaged more points per game. He averaged 30.1 points per game in his career at a time where MJ didn't shoot three-pointers. The league wasn't predicated on three-pointers. So Jordan got to the rim with ease and hit about, you know, hit 10 field goals a game or something like that. That's better than LeBron. LeBron is a better three-point shooter than Jordan. Jordan was 32% from three. So MJ more points, LeBron a better pure shooter from deep. LeBron 8%, 10 percentage points lower than Jordan at the free throw line. LeBron averages more assists. MJ was more of the just the stone cold ice in my veins at the end of the game. I don't care who is better. They are both great, and they're great in different circumstances. A lot of it depends on a bunch of other factors. Who were their teammates? LeBron had great teammates for a while. Jordan had great teammates for a while. Who were their coaches? I think we all agree that Jordan had the better coaching. It also depends. Who are the opponents? Are they better? Who's playing better competition? Jordan never had to go up against the Warriors, but LeBron never had to go through the Knicks, Pacers, Reggie Miller, Patrick Ewing. He never had to do that. But Jordan didn't have to go up against Ray Allen, Garnett, and Paul Pierce, who are definitely two, but probably three Hall of Famers. I am not interested in engaging in that conversation. Just enjoy it. Both players are phenomenal. Both players were phenomenal. Both players have been phenomenal, and they will all time be phenomenal. LeBron is an unbelievable athlete. LeBron is a physical specimen that is doing at 33 years old or whatever, 15 years in, something I never thought that we'd see somebody play at this level of output. It's incredible. Jordan dashed the hopes and dreams of franchises for a decade, but really a six-year span where pretty much whenever he got to the finals, they won. Unbelievable. I'm not interested. Yes, they're both great. Yes, they're both accomplished, but those accomplishments also stem from other factors. And look at the rules that are played. The rules are different. LeBron can score more points in chunks on threes because that's how the game is played. Now, Jordan didn't play at that time. If Jordan had played at the time where the three-point shot was so prevalent, then maybe Jordan becomes a 38% three-point shooter and he scores 35 points a game. Coaching matters. Opponent matters. Travel schedules matter. I mean, LeBron plays at a time where there's better medicine and he can get better treatment and all that. Well, but then you look at it and say, well, Jordan played in a tougher era. So that's pretty impressive. I don't care. And to me, it is the most lazy argument in sports right now. If you have nothing else to talk about in sports radio, you default go to LeBron or Jordan. I refuse to go there. This station, our show, refuses to go there. If you were a Jordan guy, great. Enjoy the highlights on YouTube. Enjoy the memories. If you're a LeBron guy, enjoy the memories. If you're 18 years old and you never got to see Jordan play at his best, go watch NBA TV. Go watch YouTube because it is incredible. It is remarkable what he did and what he accomplished. You don't have to even care who's better. We don't have to have that talk. There's two talks in sports radio that I refuse to go down. One, should Pete Rose be a Hall of Famer? And two, is LeBron better than Jordan? And it's a heck of a lot more so. You will rope me into the Pete Rose conversation 100 times over 100 easier than the LeBron and Jordan talk. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. A couple of texts we get in here on the Town Fair Tire text line we'll get to at the end of the segment. somebody unnamed on the text line, you're actually engaging in the LeBron versus Jordan conversation while claiming not to be interested in the conversation. That's what hanging around Arnie will do to you. Jay in Plattsburgh says the same thing. Look, I'm just saying, guys, I'm not making a statement on who's better. There's a difference. I'm telling you, beyond this 2.5 minutes, which is how I started the conversation, I'm not talking about it again. I do not care who is actually better. You can make an argument to skew the statistics however you want. I have zero interest in actually choosing a side. It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Now, a few things that I've been proven right about, we'll get into momentarily. Special guest Val Pallotta in studio at 6:20. Can't wait to see her again. A debate I am willing to have with you. But first, if I'm the Boston Red Sox, I would not touch Matt Harvey. And I would not touch him in all circumstances as a player on my roster. I would not entertain that idea at all unless he is willing to accept an outright assignment to the minor leagues right now. Matt Harvey has been horrible since he came back from thoracic outlet syndrome. And I feel badly for him that he had to endure that. I feel badly for anyone who has had an injury or a health scare. 27 games since he came back, ERA 6.77. He doesn't strike people out anymore. He doesn't have put-away stuff. He's got an ERA of 7 this year, and he's been a bad teammate through the course of his career. I am not bringing somebody who may be washed up and has proven to be a bad teammate and has proven to not be a great representative of an organization. I'm not bringing him up and instantly inserting him into a pennant race. And I know it's May, but if the Yankees are going to play like this, then the pennant races start now. And May matters. You are not going to come up here and negatively impact my playoff race when we know that you're not right. If he accepts or is willing to accept an assignment to the minor leagues, then maybe I could be talked into it. Yes, the organization needs some depth. No, the organization does not have a large amount of capital to go out and make a midseason acquisition. If Drew Pomeranz falls off the wagon and really struggles, do I trust Brian Johnson? Do I trust Hector Velasquez? I don't know. But I'm not trusting Matt Harvey any more than I trust those guys right now. If he was willing to go to the minor leagues and accept that assignment and get himself right there, then possibly. I believe that there is the chance that there's a positive light at the end of Matt Harvey's tunnel. He's still young. He was at one point the golden boy of baseball, the Dark Knight of Gotham. There might be that guy or some version of that guy still there. But you're not going to come into my pennant race with a bad attitude and expect to be my fifth starter. I have no room for you right now. I trust at this moment David Price and Drew Pomeranz to figure it out. I got no room for you there. And in the bullpen, I don't have room for you there either, and I'm getting Tyler Thornburg back, so I really don't have room for you, Matt Harvey. If you want to go to the pen, or if you want to go to the minors, rather, then maybe I'll entertain the idea. But right now, I wouldn't even come near you. And the Yankees know it, too, because the Yankees have said within the last 15 minutes they have no interest in Matt Harvey unless he goes to the minors. And if they have no interest in him under those circumstances, unless those circumstances are met, then that's exactly how I feel. From the Red Sox standpoint, how do people feel about Matt Harvey possibly being in Boston? Do you want to, you know, buy low on him and have a great risk-reward factor? I don't, unless he's willing to go to the minors. Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. One more note on the Sox and their rotation. I am shocked at how many people on Facebook over the weekend told us they are ready for David Price to be cut and or replaced from the starting rotation. I am shocked about that. Look, I'm no David Price fan based on what he did last year, but after going 7 scoreless on average through his first 2 starts, I believe that that good pitcher is in there. Yes, the last 3 starts have not been pretty. I'm well aware of that. But if I'm going to say he's back after 2 good ones, I'm not going to say he's done after 2 to 3 bad ones. I'm just not going to do it. He's irreplaceable. You can't get rid of him because of the money that he's making. The best you could do is make up a DL stint and try to get his head right and try to work on his mechanics and bring him back in 10 days. That's about the only other option you have. But he's not going anywhere with that money. So, number one, I'm stuck with trusting him. And number two, we may have to temper our expectations. Do I think David Price now is going from 2-4? Is he going to finish 17-6 with an ERA of under 3? Maybe not. But can he be 15-9 with that offense behind him? Yeah, I still think that he can. I'm shocked at how many people are ready to just be done with David Price and that's it. I understand he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way last year, but you're paying him all that money. You'd like to at least get some return on that investment, and I think he needs to stay in that rotation. And another guy that is it's interesting is we talked about this on Friday. Did you notice what Sonny Gray has done his last two times out against the Astros and the Indians, two of the teams we think are close to as good as anybody in the American League come October? I mean, the Indians are, you know, 500 or just under 500 at this point after what happened with the Yankees this weekend. I mean, the AL Central was garbage. They're going to the playoffs, so they're going to be a playoff team. Sonny Gray, all of a sudden, we talked about it on Friday, talked about his issues, and he's throwing his fastball a lot more. Last two starts, he has thrown double as many four-seamers than he did in all of April, basically. He's throwing his four-seam fastball 48% of the time instead of 24% of the time, and he's had much better results. He's also throwing far less curveballs than he threw in April. The Yankees' philosophy of not throwing fastballs, it may work for Masahiro Tanaka, who has a great splitter that he can throw in any count. It doesn't work for Sonny Gray. Maybe they have finally realized that, and it was Cheryl Ring of Fangraphs who pointed that out to me and who we had on Friday's edition of Champlain Valley Game Night. But it's fascinating when Sonny Gray uses a full mix of his arsenal, just how much better he is than when he becomes breaking ball dependent. Yankee fans have to be spinning about how good he was last week against that Houston offense on the road and against that Indians offense in a small ballpark at Yankee Stadium. Let's get to some of the text lines, some of the text right here on 101.3 ESPN. Cody in St. Albans talks about the Bruins. He says, as a Bruins fan, I'm so upset. I mean, Tampa just wiped the ice with their face. Other than the first game, they played no defense, and the offense was terrible. There's always next year, but as of now, I am behind the Golden Knights to win it all. As far as the Bruins go, it's an abrupt end to what was a really surprising season. And I know it's revisionist history, but if we told you at the beginning of the year, yeah, the Bruins are going to get to the Eastern Conference semifinals with this roster and all this youth that they have, a lot of people would say, wow, that's an unbelievable season, an unbelievable accomplishment. And as time moves on, you'll look at it and say, it was an unbelievable season, it was an unbelievable accomplishment, and they are well positioned for next year. But that doesn't take the sting out of it anymore. The Lightning were bigger, they were faster, they were stronger, their offensive players, their forwards were better. You know, they had better quickness than the Bruins. They were physical in the back end. David Backes obviously left the game yesterday with an injury. I mean, they wanted it. I don't know if it's fair to say they wanted it more, but they just played with more urgency than the Bruins did at times. I don't know what Brad Marchand's doing, licking. I think this one was Ryan Callahan or Ryan McDonough rather. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what Marchand's doing, just frankly, but yeah, tough loss for the Bruins. Let's move on here. Unnamed texter, is Terry Rozier the next Avery Bradley? Irreplaceable and then forgotten without Brad Stevens. No, I think they're different players. Terry Rozier is a better offensive player than Avery Bradley is. Avery Bradley is more defensive conscious than Terry Rozier is. The thing that is to me, whenever the Celtics season ends, the biggest issue to me at that point will be how do all of these guys who have gotten such great experience this year, how do they make it all work next year? Terry Rozier has become a star in these playoffs. Is he going to go back to playing 11 minutes a game and hold the towel for Kyrie Irving happily? I don't know that. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have become stars. Are they going to go back and play 21 minutes a game so Gordon Hayward can play 34? I don't know that either. That's going to be the biggest question for the Celtics moving forward. If we're going to talk about, we've talked about how selfless they are and how they've banded together. Well, how selfless are they going to be next season when everybody's healthy and there's less minutes and less shots? That's the biggest question. Let's see. We can get one more. Two more. Lampy and Huntington, spot on regarding Matt Harvey. You nailed it. And Jay in Plattsburgh, in my opinion, the Red Sox have to tighten the belt. They got to make do with what they have. Farm system has to be grown. And that's very true. And it would be okay. They could pull off getting Harvey, Jay, because it's less than $5 million, just $5.5 million at most. Mets would take on some of the money. So less than $5 million, we'll call it. He's a free agent at the end of the year, so it's not a long-term investment. But you are 100% right. Their farm system has to be grown. This is what I've been saying for months now. The reason why the Yankees aren't going anywhere anytime soon is because they built their farm system, and that has allowed them so much flexibility. They have young, cost-controllable players like Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar and Luis Severino. Those guys are in the organization for 5-6 years at a time. They're going to be really good for a while. They were able to trade from some of their depth in the organization to go and get Giancarlo Stanton. And then, oh, by the way, we can throw in the fact that because we have so many young players not making a lot of money, well, then we can go afford to make a run at Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Josh Donaldson in the offseason. That's how the Yankees have done it. This isn't your father's Yankees where they just bought everybody. This was well constructed by the organization, and the Red Sox would be wise to follow suit. All right, Champlain Valley game night, heading into break one, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. And I got a smile on my face because Val Pallotta just walked in. It is a tragic story with a positive outcome. We'll tell you about the Josh Pallotta Fund hockey tournament coming up. Val Pallotta, his mom, with us next. Champlain Valley game night in studio, 101.3 ESPN.
It's a Champlain Valley game night with Brady Farkas, and you can be part of the show by texting in at 802-655-6672. So join the conversation now on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Monday, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Red Sox off today, so a full show going until 7 o'clock. Sox and Yankees, the two best teams in baseball right now, they start a series tomorrow, so we're looking forward to that. But, now I want to kind of pivot, and something that all of you who have paid attention to the station for a while know that I've gotten to do the last 2 years is go to Radio Row at the Super Bowl. And when you go to Radio Row, it's an unbelievable opportunity. It's a who's who of sports and entertainment. We've gotten a chance to bring you a lot of great guests and a chance to meet a lot of great people, former athletes, former NFL players, former NFL coaches, guys that have been a part of Super Bowl teams and Pro Bowls and all that. And it's great. But one of the most influential interviews that I've ever done at Radio Row was 2 years ago in Houston, a chance to meet Nate Boyer. And he was an Army Green Beret who had an opportunity to sniff the NFL with the Seahawks, played his college ball, in his 30s at the University of Texas because he had served in the military. And it was a great story. And on the heels of the Colin Kaepernick story, it was a really, really timely chance to get to talk to him as well about the intersection between athletics and politics and the military. And I have gotten, a lot of opportunities over the last few years to talk with members of our military and, just to tell their stories. And so now, again, I pivot away from traditional sports to bring a special guest in here. A lot of you locally know the name Josh Pallotta, and here we are on the eves again of the Josh Pallotta Fund hockey tournament. It comes up this Saturday, Cairns Arena. That is May 12th. And we've got Josh Pallotta's mom, Val Pallotta, in studio with us now. Val, thank you for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing well, Brady. How are you?
I'm good as well. It's good to see you again. I never get any visitors in here. So,
I love coming to see you guys.
So we appreciate you coming in. You've been in here a bunch of times now. This is the second time you've talked to me, though. It's hard to believe we're coming up on the fourth. This is the fourth annual Josh Pallotta Fund hockey tournament.
I know. It's crazy. I can't believe how fast time goes.
Well, before we talk about the tournament itself and the logistics of it, I could try, but I wouldn't do it justice. So it's unfortunate I have to phrase the question this way. But tell us who your son, Josh Pallotta, was. Tell us that story.
Sure. So Josh was a member of the Vermont National Guard, and he deployed in 2010 when the Guard had their biggest deployment since World War II. They deployed to Afghanistan. And while they were there, they lost two of their soldiers, Stephen DeLuzio and Tristan Southworth. And that really hit Josh pretty hard. So he struggled quite a bit when they got home. He had post-traumatic stress disorder. He had a traumatic brain injury, not a severe one, but he was noticing some symptoms of it and was diagnosed with it towards the end of his life. But he lost his battle, unfortunately, in 2014. He ended his life, lost his battle with post-traumatic stress. So he, you know, he played hockey for a few years. He was very instrumental in starting the Colchester High School Lacrosse Club, which is now a varsity sport. So he's, yeah, that's my boy.
So a local product, and you've turned this tragedy into a positive so other families don't have to go through what you've gone through. And we've talked to a lot of people over the last 2 years since I've been here about organizations that are trying to work with our veterans. So tell us then specifically about the Josh Pallotta Hockey Tournament, which is coming up this Saturday at noon, Cairns Arena.
Sure. So, yeah, we really spent a lot of time talking to veterans. After Josh died, a lot of people started donating money. They just wanted to give back. And we started talking to veterans who were deployed with Josh and asked them, what do you want? What do you need? And they said they really wanted a place to hang out together, so and be together and play video games. So we started the Josh Pallotta Fund. And out of that, one of Josh's buddies, Jordan, who he played hockey with in youth hockey, wanted to start this hockey fund
and
hockey tournament.
Jordan's hanging out in the background here. He doesn't like the limelight too much. But, Jordan, why don't you step in and grab the mic? Since you were the architect behind the hockey tournament specifically, tell us about your motivation for it.
I didn't really know what to do, but I know hockey, so I figured maybe we could do a little hockey tournament and raise some money. The Josh Pallotta Fund wasn't a thing back then. They were kind of funneling money into Blue Star Mothers, which I started to learn a little more about. And they weren't sure what they were going to do with it, but I wanted to try to help out as much as I could. You know, instead of just throwing like a $500 check their way, I wanted to do something that could like be an annual little booster to help out. And the hockey tournament, I thought, was a great way to remember Josh and our childhood growing up together, and that's pretty much how it started. And I asked Val, and she didn't hesitate, and she said, yeah, let's go for it. And I still wasn't sure, so I asked one of my other buddies I played hockey with, and he was amped up about it. So that really gave me the confidence to go ahead and go for it.
We're talking with Val Pallotta, and Jordan Carpenter's in here also, talking about the Josh Pallotta Fund Hockey Tournament coming up Saturday, May 12th at Cairns Arena. It's noon till 6. Now, you guys are in a great position with the tournament. The tournament is actually sold out in terms of being able to play. Now, so we don't need any more teams. But that said, you can still go to this event and really help the cause. So tell us about some fan engagement opportunities and what we can do as spectators.
Well, so we have a couple of ideas. First of all, it's free admission. Or by donation. So you don't have to pay to get in. There are two rinks running. Based on the number of fans, we're hoping we'll get enough fans to do a puck-a-chuck, whatever it's called, chuck-a-puck. Some 50-50 raffles. You know, we'll have some merchandise there. We just really want to fill the stands because we have some really cool people playing this year. And we've grown every year. I remember talking to you last year, Brady, and we needed to fill teams, and we did fill the teams at the end. But this year we've got, again, we've got the National Guard team coming. We've got Rosie's Tavern. Jamie's got a team put together. But we also have some UVM alumni who are coming. We've got Peter Brady from the class of 75. Wow. We've got Jerry Tarrant. I think he was 89. And Aaron Miller, who was the class of 93, I believe. And he went on to play for the NHL, and he was also on the 2002 USA hockey team, and they won a silver medal.
Wow.
But Aaron was Josh's favorite player, and
yeah.
I tell this story a lot because it just touches my heart. But Josh waited every game for Aaron to get out of the locker room, And Aaron was notoriously the last person out of the locker room.
They got to meet, though, I hope, right?
Meet, and I've got a great picture on our Facebook page in memory of Josh Pallotta, the Facebook page, and it's a great picture back when Aaron Miller had hair, and he pointed that out first thing when I showed him the picture was, oh, look at that hair. But, yeah, we've got some great people coming. We're hoping we might have a few more people who are coming, and then just we're going to play it by ear that day, and we've got an after party at the Poorhouse. We'll do a 50-50 there. Yeah, we're hoping for some fans to fill the stands, and we had some last year family members, and that was pretty cool.
So it goes noon till 6, and then the after party is at the Poorhouse. We're raising money for the Josh Pallotta Fund. Now, you have some really big ideas for the Josh Pallotta Fund as it continues to grow. Kind of tell us what the end game is for the Josh Pallotta Fund.
So like I mentioned earlier, you know, the guys and girls really wanted a place to hang out and be together.
Yeah.
And we thought we would incorporate some complementary and alternative therapies that aren't covered now through the VA or by their TRICARE benefits, such as aromatherapy, massage, some energy work. We want to develop a wellness recreation center for veterans. So on one side, we'll have the video room, game room, a gym, pool table, things like that. We'll do some one-on-one counseling for veterans. We want to offer some classes. We'll have a community kitchen that will offer classes for cooking and community dinners. And then on the other side, we'll have the wellness piece of it with some chiropractic and things like that.
You know, as I've talked to people about veteran issues, the thing that comes back to me the most often is that veterans struggle most often with trying to reimplement themselves into, you know, civilian life and trying to find a new purpose, because you have a purpose when you're serving and then you kind of feel like you've lost that purpose when you come back. Is that the biggest issue that you see as you talk to veterans?
Yeah, and that was one of the biggest issues with Josh too. The reintegration piece is really hard, especially for our National Guard members here in Vermont. We don't have a military base here, so they're integrated with the community because most of them have full-time jobs. But it's that losing that brotherhood and that connection and that, you know, that unit running PT that they do every morning. You know, they do training 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year, but they still don't have that connection. And I think that's a lot of what happened with Josh. He isolated himself quite a bit once he was struggling with post-traumatic stress. He didn't admit he had it when he came home from deployment during the out-processing period. And he came home because he wanted to come home. He wanted to be with his family. He was gone for a year. So that reintegration and that connection with who you've served with and people who get what you've gone through is huge.
So if we have any veterans listening now or any active service people listening now, what would your advice be?
Reach out, for one. You know, there are other veterans who are going through what you're going through, and you know, Facebook is huge. If you don't use Facebook, go to the vet centers and just say, where are these places that I can connect? You know, if you have Facebook, reach out and just say, you know, I'm a veteran. I want to get together and play cards with somebody. I want to play video games. You know, anybody interested? I want to go for a run. Anybody want to go for a run? It's just that connecting. And at the Josh Pallotta Fund, we're hoping to be that hub of the wheel that connects people and resources. There are a lot of resources out there, so if there are things that you need financially or emotionally, Veterans Outreach and Family Programs does a great job of that. So we're trying to assist these programs that already exist in connecting veterans with other veterans and other services. But we want to not duplicate efforts, and we want to offer something that veterans aren't getting from other organizations, because we don't want to step on any toes.
The Josh Pallotta Fund Hockey Tournament is May 12th, Cairns Arena at noon till 6. The stands are open. Spectators welcome. Donations appreciated. And Val, there's also an opportunity if anybody who's listening who is feeling so inclined that they can get involved on a sponsorship level too.
Absolutely. We've made up the T-shirts already, so we can't put your logo on the back of the T-shirt this year, but we will be sure to do it next year, and we're going to hand out a flyer at the game, too, that will have additional sponsors on it. So if you can't make the team and you want to help out, absolutely, we'll take sponsors.
And this is a daily event, but this is a daily battle for you, and this is a year-long process in working with the Josh Pallotta Fund. Where can we learn more?
You can learn more on our website. It's www.joshpallottafund.org. It's P-A-L-L-O-T-T-A. check out our website or our Facebook page in memory of Joshua R. Pallotta.
All right, Val, we appreciate it. Jordan, he slunk back into the corner. He's not much for the limelight, but we appreciate the work that you guys do and continued success with the organization. We're looking forward to coming up on the 12th over at Cairns Arena, and continued strength to you and all our veterans and families also.
Thanks, Brady.
Of course. And Val, hang through the break because I want to make sure that that we talk through talk some more too. And yeah, it is a tragic story. You know, and that's really all you can say. It's a tragic story, but it's also an American hero, somebody who fought for our country and helped represent our country in a positive way. And really, I've got a chance to talk to a lot of cool people, a lot of people that I grew up watching or idolizing, a lot of people that I know other young sports fans have grown up idolizing. I mean, I remember I've talked to Jimmer Fredette. He was one of the first big interviews I ever did. And Marcus Stroman, one of the Blue Jays. And I've talked to a lot of people that I consider to be really big in the sports world, but really some of the most impactful interviews that I've ever done were the two chances that I've had to interview Nate Boyer, and then I just got to talk to Nate Boyer this year off the air in a non-interview standpoint, and just to hear him say that the biggest issue facing veterans is what happens when that uniform comes off, it's powerful. So as Val Pallotta just told you, if you are a veteran, if you are a service person, feel free to reach out. And that goes in a lot of different. You don't have to be a veteran. If there's something bothering you, feel free to reach out. Whatever that is, it's okay to admit that. It's okay to find strength in that because other people are likely feeling that same way also. So the Josh Pallotta Fund Hockey Tournament is coming up this Saturday at Cairns Arena at noon. When we come back, we'll go back to sports. I won't have the LeBron and Jordan debate with you, but I will have this one. It's about the Red Sox. That's next on 101.3 ESPN.
It's a Champlain Valley game night with Brady Farkas, and you can be part of the show by texting in at 802-655-6672. So join the conversation now on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Champlain Valley Game Night on a Monday. Always love having Val Pallotta in. So, again, we appreciate her time. The Josh Pallotta Fund Hockey Tournament is this Saturday at Cairns Arena. If you can go, then do it. Help support the cause. Help support the mission to end veteran suicide. If you can't go, then get involved some other time, some other way. We've got a lot of listeners, actually, who text in quite a bit and are big fans of our station who have done work with the programs that the Josh Pallotta Fund puts on, so we look forward to continuing to work with them in the future. I started off the show, I won't have the LeBron versus Jordan debate with you. I will have this one. Mike Trout is the best player. He's the best player in baseball, but for the specifics of this, he's the best player in the American League. And where this stems from, and I have zero hesitation in saying that, where this stems from is that Buster Olney tweeted out today that a National League executive says that Mookie Betts is the best player in the AL. It says that Mookie Betts is better than Trout, and I frankly can't buy that. And look, they're both undeniably great. In the same way that Jordan and LeBron are undeniably great, they are both great. You look at the numbers that these guys are on pace for this year. I mean, Betts is in line for 62 homers and 124 RBIs, and Trout's in line for 57 and 114, but Trout's in line for more steals and more walks and more hits. They're both great. Mike Trout, to me, is the best player in baseball, and I'm going to go as far as this. For me right now, Mike Trout is the best player that I have ever gotten to see and fully appreciate. He is the best player I've ever gotten to see and fully appreciate. For my money, Ken Griffey Jr. is the greatest player of my lifetime. But a lot of what I remember about Griffey now comes from highlights. And it's hard to say that because Ken Griffey Jr. is probably the reason why I'm a baseball fan. He's the reason why a whole generation of guys or girls between 25 and 35 are baseball fans. He was cool. He was the backwards hat. He was the bat waggle. He was the wiffle ball swing that you wanted to emulate. He was the guy, and he could do it all. But Ken Griffey Jr. was out of his prime by the time I was 15 years old. Mike Trout is the first player I remember who's been in their prime the whole time I could fully appreciate it. Bonds, in his prime, I didn't fully appreciate because I was, you know, 14 years old. Mike Trout, to me, is the most impactful player I've ever really gotten to see and appreciate. It doesn't mean that he's better than Griffey. It doesn't mean that he's better than Bonds. It just means he's the best player for me that I have gotten to see at an age where I could fully appreciate it. And I love Mookie Betts, but I don't think right now he's even on the level as Trout. You look at what Trout does. Trout is the complete package in every possible way. He checks every possible box. He hits for power. Yes, he's on pace for 57 homers. He hits for power. You look at his home run numbers. He's hit 30, 27, 36, 41, 29, 33. He's second in the majors in homers right now. RBIs, he hits for power. He's led the majors in RBIs in a season already in his career. He's hit over 100 twice. He's done it from two different spots in the order, the leadoff spot. He's done it the three spot. He was in second for a while, if I'm not mistaken, also. He has been unbelievable. He scores more runs. He led the major leagues in runs three times in a row at the age of 20, 21, and 22. Who does that? He's a gold glove caliber outfielder. He's going to steal 30 bases this year. He walks. He's going to double almost Mookie Betts' walks this year with what they're on pace for. He's actually going to double his walks. He's got an eye. He drives and runs. He hits for power. He's got speed. He plays defense. Mookie Betts is phenomenal, but Mike Trout is better. The lineup that Trout has been in has been so fractured over the time of his career there. He's been in the playoffs, I think, one time. Look at what he's had around him. Nothing. An aging Albert Pujols, a broken down Josh Hamilton, and what else? Nothing. He hasn't had David Ortiz. He hasn't had Dustin Pedroia. He hasn't had J.D. Martinez as his protection or his guys in front of him or behind him. What he's done has been amazing. For a while, for a stretch, he was the only thing in that offense. And in a time where the Angels had no pitching either, they were losing a bunch of games. And that's not Mike Trout's fault. Mike Trout, to me, is the best player in baseball. He's better than Bryce Harper. He's better than Jose Altuve. He's better than Nolan Arenado. And he's definitely better than Mookie Betts. Again, I love Mookie Betts. And the Red Sox would not be as good as they are if Mookie Betts were not on this team. And I'm telling you this, Mike Trout's off the Angels. They are nothing. Mookie Betts goes on the DL for the Red Sox. They're still reasonably good. What Mookie's done is amazing, but Mike Trout is better. And Mike Trout is the guy that every single time the Mariners play the Angels, I look at it and say, when is Trout batting and what is he batting against this pitcher? And the answer is always about 750. I don't go into a game thinking that my team can get Mike Trout out. I know the odds are with them that they're going to get him out 7 out of 10 times. But it just never feels like he is an easy out. Mookie Betts, I look at and say, okay, very good. But I don't go into games thinking Mookie's going 4-for-4 today. That's how I think about Mike Trout. He is that special, and he is that generational. And you can tell us how you feel about it, 802-655-6672. All right, that will do it for us. We'll get you an update here real quick on the way out as the Celtics take on the Philadelphia 76ers. We are about an hour into that game right now. You can listen over on AM 960 The Zone, and the C's lead 38-35 right now as they try to close out Philly in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Winner goes on to play the winner of the Cavs and Raptors. Cavs lead that 3-0 as well. Monday Mirage is in the huddle. Was fun. You missed anything, you can find it online, 802-655-6672. Tomorrow we're back at it. Red Sox and Yankees will cut us short tomorrow at 6:20. Thanks to Val Pallotta for coming in as well. We appreciate seeing her every single year. Enjoy a rare night off on 101.3 ESPN. So flip over to the Celtics again. AM 960 The Zone right now, coming up on Halftime. We will see you tomorrow back in studio, 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lake and Wingo.
Coming up Tuesday, did LeBron single-handedly ruin the Raptors' entire season? We'll break down Game 4, plus the latest from Celtic Sixers.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10, only on 101.3 ESPN. ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte.
Here's Dari Noka.
We're clearly going to get what we've wanted all along, that Rockets-Warriors Western Conference Finals. That's inevitable, really, after both teams took care of what they needed to take care of in Game 4 on the road yesterday. The Warriors, with their quick start, MVP-type